Now live from Everbank Field, 1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey and Tony Smith.
Hey, welcome in everybody. Brought to you by Claude Nolan Cadillac, live just above the 17th Island Green. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you in the best spot to be at the Players' Championship. Good morning, Jaguars Today on the air. Fat Tony, we're going to have to modulate. We're going to have to go into golf talk mode, even when we talk football, a little bit more than we did yesterday. Not quite the ability to let it loose as we had yesterday at the replica 17th hole.
Sure, sure. And my voice is not, I'm not as loud and obnoxious as you anyway.
True.
So it's not as much, you know, of an effort for me to get down to golf talk levels. They're on the green right now, so they probably, we wouldn't be bothering anybody anyway.
Woo!
I wouldn't be up here screaming right now. The guy in pink in front of us might take offense to that if we started trying to distract golfers from here on air. But, yeah, a wonderful view here from the Benefactor today. We've been out here as a station for the last couple of years on the Friday of broadcast week for the Players' Championship. And, man, it is just as spectacular every year. I think it may even be better this year because they set it up a little bit differently.
New angle.
Yeah, it's a new angle and a little bit more space than we have when I remember we were out here 2 years ago when they ran the rows of seats all the way back. We can actually sit and be comfortable.
Yes, we were pressed for space the last time, and I'm sure at some point it may get a little pressed for space in here as well, particularly if people are standing up and trying to watch what's going on. But right now, it's a great time to take advantage of the grounds. I mean, it's not packed yet, right? Friday will get packed, as we know. A lot of people are going to take that half a day of hooky off from work and come on out, or, Tony, maybe they're going the other direction. Maybe they're taking that half day of hooky from work and they're heading over to Jaguar minicamp today.
Could be.
Or, Tony, maybe they're taking the full day of hooky and they're doing some morning golf and some afternoon Jaguar rookie minicamp, such as yours truly will be doing.
Sure.
But I'm not playing hooky. I get paid to do this. This is phenomenal. This is truly, look at my Twitter feed. I just snapped a photo. I snapped it and tweeted it out after I saw the sign that said, "No photos," right there. So sue me, PGA Tour.
No, we're media.
This is public service. This is Chamber of Commerce. This is great PR for you guys as we sit here, and you'll see a view from my office, Tony's office as well, today, and we'll be the 1010XL office of note here in the Benefactor's tent.
And we're going to see a bunch of the notables come through while we're on the air today. Tiger Woods, Phil Mickelson, Sergio Garcia all started their days today on the back nine, so they should be coming through here before we get off the air here in the next couple of hours. So we'll keep you updated on what's going on in the golf course as well. Jack O'Brien from the Media Center throughout the show this morning. But yeah, obviously a lot of people probably taking the day off to get out there for mini camp today as well, Mike.
What I need are lots of positive Sergio updates like this one, Tony. 3-footer for birdie, sunk it on 14, started on the back nine today. He's down to 5 under par. One off the lead and a tie for third place. Charlie Hoffman, Kevin Na at the top of the leaderboard, baby, because it's all about my fantasy golf day.
Apparently it is.
Apparently it is. So I told you, Billy Ho yesterday, he was my runner-up in my consideration, and I was ruined the day when I passed on him when he finished with a nice 4-under 68, so nice job by him. And really, you know, the early morning, there wasn't much difference. We saw some guys get out to 5-under in the afternoon, 5-under in the morning. Didn't seem to be in much of an advantage when you teed off yesterday.
No, it really didn't, and it was almost the same kind of group of guys chasing in the afternoon as there were in the morning. It was basically the same number of guys. That group that was at 3-under par, my goodness, you talk about the firepower at 3-under par after the first round of yesterday's tournament with Rory McIlroy, the world's number one, who seems to finally be figuring this place out after struggling with this golf course for the first several appearances that he had. But he had the best last 36 holes of anybody in the field last year. He comes back, shoots a 3-under 69 to get his tournament started. We'll see where he winds up. Sergio Garcia was in that group. Jason Day was in that group. Ricky Fowler was in that group at 3-under par. Just the names, just 2 strokes off the lead going into play today, was pretty incredible.
Yeah, you had a lot of guys falter down the stretch as well, like Dustin Johnson. So you saw some guys put themselves in position. We saw Fowler get to 6-under yesterday, then with a double bogey, drop back and eventually settle at 3-under par, as you mentioned. That group that finished at 3-under par, I want to say they were tied for 11th yesterday.
Yep.
and that put them in a tie with like 15 golfers at that number. So a bunch of guys in red figures. If you like your birdies, and really, who doesn't? Come on. I mean, look, I love the U.S. Open, but I want it once a year. I want it at the U.S. Open. I want to see. Mm-hmm. I don't want to see guys take the course apart. I don't want it to be a farce, but we all want to see something in the mid-teens, I think. We
sure.
want to see plenty of birdies and eagles, and you've got the closing stretch. Here's our view, Tony. Coming the 16th fairway as guys play their second shots in and or laying up to play their thirds, they're coming right at us. They're coming right at us right now. We are truly directly behind the tee box on 17 from mm-hmm. where we stand. Last year, we were at a caddy corner angle. I mean, we are looking straight down the pipeline on guys, and it's the back left pin today. And, of course, we can just maybe see the 18th tee from where we sit over here, but I'm fudging that because I can't really with the little grandstand.
You can just kind of see the gallery, yeah.
You get the gist of where the 18th tee is over there, so it's a great view.
It is, and you know, we want to see some birdies out here, and we saw a bunch of them yesterday. Obviously, some pretty good scoring conditions yesterday. Expected to be much the same today. The breeze, though, started really blowing here on 17 and 18 late in the day yesterday, and you saw a bunch of guys that came to this 17th tee box late that had the lead or shares of the lead that found the water. Louis Oosthuizen came here at 500 par. He found the drink. I forget who else was right after him, came here to 17. He found the drink as well after he had a stretch of 5 out of 6 holes with a birdie, and I can't remember who it is off the top of my head. But, yeah, 17 jumped up and bit a couple of guys yesterday late.
Well, Charlie Hoffman got bit on his very first hole.
He got bit making the turn, yeah.
And still finished at 5 under par. So, I mean, what could have been for Charlie Hoffman?
Sure.
Could have, you know, if you par that hole, who knows, maybe your round goes differently some other way. But he gave 3 back to par and could have shot a 64 otherwise
yep.
had he not done that. And he's right there in the mix. Once again, today he's had a terrific year so far, kind of under the radar, but he's been in contention. He was on the Masters leaderboard. He's been on a few leaderboards that I've noticed this year, so he's playing well. And like we said, there's no predicting where it's going to come from here. Where I don't think it's going to come from is from two-time champion Eldrick Tiger Woods.
Probably not.
You saw that shot yesterday on number 8, Tony. in since 2003, the Players' Championship tweeted this stat out yesterday. The 8th hole has been played 1,903 times.
Uh-huh.
12 balls have gone in the water on number 8 because it's so short of the green.
Right. The water on number 8 is out of play for us.
It's truly out of play for us. I've never been in that water.
Right.
Now, we play from a lot shorter tees
sure.
there, but regardless.
I never knew it was there.
It's not something you think about. I mean, I know it's there. I've seen it, but because I've hit it in those bunkers on the right side, sometimes you kind of walk past it, but Tiger just towed one straight in the water and made a double bogey. Honestly, it was kind of fortunate he made a double bogey on that hole. Could have, you know, he had to drop, hit 3 on the green, and then he made his 2-putt for double bogey there, but, you know, had a couple of those throwaway holes and ended up shooting one over. So I think he probably scored maybe better than he hit it at times yesterday.
It's not how he felt. He felt he hit it pretty well and didn't score at all.
Is that right?
That's what he said after the round, yeah.
Well, I tell you, regardless, on a day when there were plenty of guys in red figures, going out and one over is not impossible to do. And I know he birdied 2 early today. What's
but
he at right
he's
now?
He's 2 over now for the tournament. Yeah. 1 over today through 4.
So that means he gave 2 back
yeah.
since he birdied number 2 this morning. So, you know, Tiger's struggling. And, you know, look, I'll say this. No matter how you feel about him, you feel about him. Plenty of people that I know, they, are you going to follow Tiger? Are you watching Tiger? I'm
right.
out to watch Tiger. He's still the main draw.
Sure.
He's still the main
draw. It's funny. I was doing updates yesterday, and I'll be doing them again this afternoon starting at 1 o'clock. From over at the Media Center, and from the moment that Tiger Woods teed off, I mentioned him in every update I did except one, right? And as soon as I did that update, it was the only one in the entire afternoon that I didn't mention Tiger Woods and where he was on the golf course, and I immediately got a couple tweets from people saying, hey, I'm just saying you probably should include Tiger Woods in your updates, and I was like, literally, that was the first time I haven't. I'm doing this every 20 minutes. I got 50 seconds to get all the information about what's going on out there on the course, but people really want to know what Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson and some of these guys are doing, and it doesn't matter if they're right in the middle of contention or not. they are a draw. We're going to see these galleries coming through here in the next hour or so with Tiger and Phil, and they're going to be gigantic. It doesn't matter where these guys are on a leaderboard. They're going to be people that want to know what's going on with Tiger Woods.
Did Tiger start on the back today?
Yes.
Okay, so we will see him coming through here before we go off the air today. And, look, that's the thing. I see these stories, you know, Tiger blinked, Tiger breathed, Tiger whatever, and there's a story written about it. And it does get kind of draining as we watch now as a new group approaches the 17th tee. Is that going to get there? That'll get there, right? Guys, so far, a lot of guys are just attacking that back pin. That's a one came up a little bit short, but on the front third of the green. But regardless, you know, it's what you're talking about. The demand is there. People are tweeting you immediately once you don't mention his name.
Sure.
People must be clicking on those stories because they keep pumping them out in great volume. What's Martin Keimer doing?
Keimer
right
is
now?
4 under for the tournament. He's 1 under today, playing 14 right
playing
now.
14. All right. So your defending champion backing it up well up to this point. So we'll keep an eye on the scoreboard for you throughout
Justin
the day.
Justin Rose on the tee box right now.
You know there are a bevy of Jaguar fans that listen to this show regularly who right now are just wringing their hands.
They're dying. It's been the Josh Scobie
what are you talking
open
about?
To the show update.
Right, that's what we're talking about. We call this the Josh Scobie portion of the show. Scobie, big golf fan. But we'll be out there at Rookie Minicamp today and tomorrow. I know you're going to try to make it out there tomorrow.
Yeah.
For part of it. You're pulling double duty over the next couple of afternoons, covering the tournament out here for 1010XL. But today is Tom Bush Family of Dealerships Fan Feedback Question of the Day. Simply asks you, which player are you most looking forward to seeing? I mean, maybe it's obvious. Maybe you say, oh, it's Dante Fowler. He's the number one pick. Maybe it's TJ Yeldon. How does he look? Look, we grant it. It's a non-contact rookie minicamp.
Mm-hmm.
This is not like, you know, the height of training camp when these guys are getting ready to start the season. But nonetheless, it's what you've got here as I bring it down to golf talk. Volume, Tony. Is that Justin Rose?
That is Rose.
He looks like he hit a pretty good ball in there. Maybe a little long, huh?
Did it go over?
Might have been a little long.
I think it went over.
I think it might have been a little long. Smooth swing. These guys hit wedge from back there so often.
Sure. Well, he had like a 3-minute conversation with his caddy about club he wanted to use, and then
I hope that wasn't the caddy's call on
right,
that one.
Apparently,
oops,
it looked like he went over the green.
His former caddy,
right?
Tony.
He's at 4 under par, coming on to 17, just 2 strokes off the lead. We'll see where he winds up leaving.
I don't think he's
going to
leave right at 4 under par at this rate and time. But you know, I'm looking forward to seeing all the guys out there. That's obvious, but particularly I think for me, TJ Yeldon is a guy that you know I just want to see what he looks like. Does he carry himself the way I want to see that guy who's
sure
so much of the offense is going to be on? And look, what am I truly going to tell in the month of May from the way TJ Yeldon walks and carries himself? Right? I mean, it's kind of ridiculous.
Well, it is, but then I go back to last year when we were out there for rookie minicamp, right? And it was obviously a different kind of buzz because they had drafted the quarterback in the first round and they had drafted the two wide receivers in the second round and everyone was coming out there to see what the new toys were going to look like, right? Well, this year is a little bit different. Not a whole lot of offensive skill position guys that you're going to be taking a look at. Rashad Greene, TJ Yeldon really being the two guys that you'll have eyes on out there, I'm guessing, as a fan. But last year, the guy that I remember from rookie minicamp is Telvin Smith. Right, it's going out there, and as these guys are just stretching to go out there for camp, he's the guy that's riling everybody up. He's chatting, he's talking. They're doing the kickoff drill at the beginning of practice, and he's out sprinting everybody in that first drill. There was obviously this level of excitement for him to not only be in Jacksonville, but to be in the NFL and experience this for the first time. And that enthusiasm carried over throughout the rest of the summer and into the fall for him. And he had a really, really strong season. But that's a guy that they drafted in the 5th round that had the failed combine thing and had all these stories being written about him. And we were all kind of familiar with him because he had played at Florida State. But that attitude he brought to the field was there immediately. And I do think Dante Fowler is that type of guy, too. I think he can be that type of guy. And I'm curious, going out there for the next couple of days, if you see that kind of thing. This team has been really good about finding guys that can be leaders in different ways. And Dante Fowler certainly has been a guy throughout this process with that kind of swagger, that kind of attitude. And I'm curious to see if it carries over to our first opportunity to see him practice with some of his teammates.
He's got the personality.
Yeah.
That's what he's got. He's got the personality to do it. You saw it on display. And look, he also knows that he's got a business persona about him, as Fred Taylor talked to us the other day about that. You know, you've got, I think Justin Rose just may have.
He hit
one short.
Yeah.
You know, he went to the drop area and left one on the front third of the green to a back left pin, which is, by these guys' standards, an absolutely miserable shot, really.
Yeah.
So Justin Rose laying three at the front of the green. He'll be lucky to two-putt that from there and make a double bogey and drop to two under par coming into the hole at four under. His playing partner is also on the front third of the green. Maybe that's what he saw. Right, he saw the first guy go, hit it on the front third. He said, "Not long." It's playing a little bit longer. He hit it over, and the next guy gets up there and he hit it on the front third as well.
All three of these guys in contention too. It's Rose, Dustin Johnson, Zach Johnson. Zach Johnson at 3 under par right now. They're all in the front third of this green, trying to see if they can get themselves in position here on 17. But obviously, Justin Rose is going to give back at least one, and that would take a heck of a putt from here.
Yeah, that is. That is a nice group to follow, though. You know,
yeah.
Zach Johnson, Dustin Johnson, Justin Rose.
Doesn't look like a huge gallery for him either. So if you're trying to figure out what to do and you're hanging out around the turn here,
it's not overly packed this morning. I mean, there are plenty of people out here, don't get me wrong, but it's not shoulder to shoulder yet. So if you're coming out, get out here early. I'm curious what the traffic's like on A1A coming from Butler Boulevard.
Dan Hicken said it was awful.
Entrance. Hicken said it was awful. Was it already?
Absolutely
so,
awful.
Well,
worst he's ever seen, he said.
Wait a minute. At what point did he say it was awful?
What
time did he get out here this morning?
He just tweeted a couple pictures about 10 minutes ago and said it was the worst he's ever seen. So.
Okay, so maybe he must be heading over. I bet he's heading over to the stadium because I think he's going to minicamp this afternoon. So maybe that's what it is. Because
I can imagine a lot of people trying to get off or just getting up, getting going, want to come out here and see Tiger, Phil, some of these guys as they, at least on their back nine, trying to get out here right now. So I imagine the galleries are going to get pretty crazy, especially for a Friday morning out here at the TPC Sawgrass.
And don't make me regret my decision to pull double duty today and get over there. There should be no reason A1A North should be bad at 11:30. I get southbound, everybody coming from town, I get that, but northbound, I'm going to be disappointed, Tony, if I'm in gridlock. I'll call you from the gridlock if I get out there in time.
By the way, the guy I forgot that had choked on 17 yesterday, coming in with 5 out of 6 birdies. Thank you, Ron Compton, for reminding me. JB Holmes came in at
JB.
5 under par and put it in the drink.
You know what I like 17. To say to him? What up, Holmes?
What up, Holmes?
That's what I like to say to JB. It's not original, but it's what I like to say to JB. It's called Nolan Cadillac Friday. If you'd like to get on board, you want to talk about Jaguar minicamp, we'll get more into the Tom Brady Wells Report story. Brady had a chance to talk with Jim Gray yesterday at a pre-scheduled thing. Was that at the University of Michigan? Was it where that was? I mean, no one. I mean, it's such a supportive audience. Yay, Tom. We love you. You didn't do anything wrong, Tom. Oh, my goodness. You know, his agent thinks there's a major witch hunt going on. There's a report out on CBS yesterday that he could get a suspension for up to a year, which I think is crazy.
That's a little ludicrous.
But, Tony, there's much more out there in terms of, like I said yesterday, I would be surprised if he gets suspended at all. Ultimately, if he misses that Thursday game, Adam Schefter said he thinks a suspension will come, and under appeal, he'll have it knocked down to a fine. And, I mean, that's him, talking, too.
I'm in the end expecting a fine. That's what I expect.
Ultimately, that's what I said yesterday. I don't expect him to miss any football games, but a lot of people out there saying 4 sounds about right. Well, at least 3. We're good with at least 3, and after that, we really don't care all that much, as long as he's not playing. Look, and you can say all you like about, I want to take on the best. I don't care if Brady's playing. Well, you're silly, okay? I'd much rather have the Jaguars face Jimmy Garoppolo in week 3 of the season. You're not thinking clearly, all right, if you think that it doesn't matter who's playing a quarterback. Doesn't mean the Jags can't win. Your chances are considerably greater, I have to believe, with Mr. Garoppolo.
I would think so, yeah.
And Tom Brady, as far as that goes. All right, in a moment, we'll get a full leaderboard update with Jack O'Brien out there at the media center for the next few hours.
Here's a 1010XL 92.5 FM Casa Marina Hotel and Restaurant Players Championship update.
And a very, very good morning to you live from the Media Center. I'm Jack O'Brien on this Friday here at the Stadium Club at Sawgrass. Make sure you wear good shoes and thick socks today if you're going to do plenty of walking. This report is brought to you by Brandon Pest Control and by Coastal Equipment. Charlie Hoffman, the solo leader at the moment, now at 6 under par. He's minus one for the day. We have eight players now at 5 under par, including Brandon Grace, the South African, 4 under for the day, has worked himself into contention at 5 under par. Tiger's plus one for the day. He's played 5 holes. He's now at 2 over for the tournament. Lefty Phil Mickelson, even for the day. After 5, he's plus one for the tournament. We're here every 20 minutes at the Stadium Club at Sawgrass, live from the Media Center. I'm Jack O'Brien.
Quanoa Cadillac Friday here, Jaguars. Today we are live at the Players, getting tweets. Please no more golf. Hey, sorry. Guess where we're at? We're at the Players Championship. All right, deal with it. You know what? You know what the dial is, honestly. Come on. We'll cover Jaguar minicamp. We will cover the Players. We can do a little multitasking a couple days out of the year. Like I said yesterday, if we happen to be half-court at a basketball game, we'd probably mention what's going on right in front of us. We wouldn't be half-court at a basketball game, but
interesting.
You would all trade your office today for
I wonder how everyone around us at a basketball game would feel if we started talking Jaguars football in the middle of a basketball game.
Probably wouldn't have to whisper quite as much with what's going on.
You could probably talk or whatever volume you wanted.
What do we got? Charlie Hoffman still top of the leaderboard, Tony.
Yeah.
6 under shot in the lead.
Hoffman's
as far as
still
that's
at
gone.
Six.
Chris Reimer, the PGA Tour, just putting his hands up like, what did I do for you? What did I do for
that's
you?
That's right.
Look at this view. You guys are spoiled so-and-sos. And he's correct. He's absolutely correct about that. So nice of him to stop by and say hello. If you want to get on board today, 641-1010. I've already heard a few JTV horror stories. I heard 50 minutes from getting off JTB to the entrance of Sawgrass, which
you guys
is about,
need to start using Nocatee, brothers.
Is that like 4.5 miles, something like that?
Yeah, something like that.
Something like that to go. I got this tweet in. Someone passed along from the Jacksonville Sheriff's Office. Tomorrow, keep this in mind if you're going to Jaguar minicamp, the Matthews Bridge is scheduled to be closed for routine maintenance tomorrow from 8 in the morning until 5 in the afternoon. It's also going to be closed Sunday from 10 until 5, but minicamp only running today and tomorrow. So if you typically get downtown via the Matthews Bridge, find an alternate route, Tony, or I guess go at 7:30, maybe?
Right.
Get there really early
right.
for a 1:10 start to minicamp tomorrow. 1:10 to 3:15 this afternoon and tomorrow afternoon. I know locker room was open yesterday. Obviously, we didn't have a chance to get over there, but we'll catch up with these guys. We had Rashad Green on earlier this week, and I think next week hopefully we'll have a chance to get
talk
some
to
more of these rookies
them, yeah.
on and introduce them to you on a more personal basis for those guys, some extended conversation. So we look forward to that.
I want to meet AJ Khan.
Want to meet them all.
Can Khan. I don't know. I've heard it both ways. The general will pronounce it the way that I hadn't heard it said, so I don't know what to call it.
Right, and I was told by the PR folks over at the Jags that they were told that Can was the proper way to say it. So I'm going to go with that. Can we all agree now it's Mariota, right? Have we gotten that?
Mariota? It's not Mariota.
No, it's not Mariota. It's not Mr. Mariota.
How is he Mariota?
It's Lyle Collins.
I mean, come on. You're the commissioner of the National Football League. We've only been talking about the guy for 2 years. Even if you only want to include the hype leading up to the draft, that's 6 months, and you don't know the guy's name.
I'm guessing he knew his name and he choked. I mean, that way he had to have known his name.
Mariota.
Right? Mariota. All right, let's go to the phones for the first time today. 641-1010. And Alex on board wants to talk a little Jaguar minicamp. Good morning, Alex. How are you?
I'm great. How are you guys?
Fantastic, man.
Well, I bet you are. I just want to say you two are the luckiest people on the face of the earth right now, and I envy both of you. So that's all I want to say for now. But.
Well, by the way, if you had said something other than people, I would have understood at that moment. The luckiest so-and-sos.
Yes, right, thank you.
We appreciate you not doing that.
Yeah, of course not. That'd be rude. But the big mini camp for the rookies, I'm really looking forward to seeing how my buddies from high school do from Bulls, Jacob Spencer and Desmond Cooper. They both got invited. So I'm really looking forward to that. I hope they do well. But overall, the excitement, like, who stands out. Like, he talked about Telvin Smith coming in, chattering, bringing that energy from Florida State, and brought it to the Jags rookies minicamp. So I'm looking forward to see who does that this year. So I'll just get off the air and let you guys go back to living the dream.
Hey, brother, thanks, man. We appreciate it. The dream will go on uninterrupted. At this point, it's great for some local guys to get that chance in their own backyard, man. I mean, hey, they're living the dream right now. You know what I mean? I love what Lyle Collins said. I hope Lyle Collins is as innocent as can be. All signs point to that being the case. He was never named a suspect in the death of his former girlfriend, who, by the way, was pregnant with another man's child and who unfortunately passed away, both of them tragically. I mean, unfortunately, doesn't scratch the surface of it. But there's no indication at this point that Lyle Collins is at all involved in this. And you look back now and what the Cowboys did, boy, what a sales pitch Jerry Jones must have given him, Tony, because that's a pretty stiff set of competition you've got there in Dallas. You've already got a tremendous offensive line.
Sure.
He comes in there, he gets the deal that he's entitled to as an undrafted rookie, which is roughly, we'll call it $1.5 million over 3 years. It's in that ballpark. It's about $400,000, $500,000, and $600,000 each of the first 3 years. Jerry Jones guaranteed the whole thing. I think any team would have been wise to offer that, right? And then you have the ability to rip that contract up after 2 years if he plays well. And you could pay him like the first rounder that he was expected to be or whatever if he, you know, looks like he's going to be a key part of your organization. I still go back. I'm telling you, in hindsight now, how many teams are kicking themselves for not spending the seventh-round pick on this guy just to find out, Tony? Because, look, I get it. Maybe it's a wasted pick. Maybe he uses that because if he gets drafted and he doesn't sign after 10 weeks of the season, he can enter next year's draft. Going undrafted kept him from doing that. So you run the risk that you lose him. But you know what else you do? You kept him away from the Dallas Cowboys. What if you're the Redskins right now or the Eagles or one of these teams? What if they had spent a seventh-round pick in hindsight? You think they'd do that now and roll the dice that maybe they could convince him, hey, make some money now. We'll sign you. We'll guarantee it. In 2 years, we'll rip up the deal. You're going to get the money you're going to get anyway.
Well, we talked about this a little bit on Tuesday when everything was still up in the air a little bit for Collins. And, look, I understood why a team would have spent a seventh-round draft pick on him when we were talking about it earlier this week. I can tell you I still would not have been the team that did it, given that, yeah, we know more information now than we did then, and the risk seems minimal with a guy that you're spending a seventh-round draft pick on. Maybe he decides he's not going to play for you, so he's going to re-enter the draft the next year. Maybe that threat was legitimate. Maybe it wasn't. We don't know that, right? But we didn't know that he wasn't a suspect in a murder investigation at that point in time either. I just think we know that now, and it makes it easy to second guess a little bit. And you were on board for a team spending the seventh round pick in the
first
place.
Prior to the draft.
Right. I was not. I can tell you, if I was a general manager, I am not touching that guy in the draft at any point in the draft. I don't care if it is a seventh round pick and the odds of him making my team are probably pretty minimal, especially if I'm a good football team. Like, I don't know, Dallas could have spent a seventh round pick on him, right?
Sure.
There were a bunch of teams that could have afforded
to do it.
Nobody
did it. I get it.
For me, I wouldn't have done it. And even if we find out that he's been cleared of all that stuff, I wouldn't feel bad about not having done it if I was an NFL general manager.
I just think it's a missed opportunity. I think you could look, I think adults, if when treated like adults, when you talk to them intelligently, they can handle it. Okay, you tell your fan base, look, we're not advocating any misdeeds by anyone, certainly anything as heinous as this, but nothing at this moment points to him being guilty of this or even being charged with this, and we are going to wait until we get some clarity on the situation. Look, the police haven't said he's free and clear, right? No. They just said he's not a suspect. And here we are. Really, other than the fact that he met with the police, the tenor of the conversation hasn't changed all that much, has it?
No.
I mean, not from the police's point of view. It's not like they said, all right, free and clear, because you're not going to do that, for one thing, because what if you find some other evidence one day? You're not going to clear a guy because then he can bring that into court and say, well, the police said he was not, you know, he was cleared. So how can they, this is a contradiction. So you're rarely going to get that.
Yeah, they're obviously still investigating.
They're investigating the case. But the fact that he went and talked, it was enough for the Dallas Cowboys and reportedly 25-plus other teams to get in, to show interest. Now, they all didn't get a chance to meet with this guy because it happened so quickly.
I do have to ask. All right, so he goes and he talks to the police earlier this week. Why didn't he do that a week and a half ago?
I don't know.
You know, when the police wanted to talk to him, when maybe there would have been a team that was willing, not, maybe not a first-round pick, but would have been willing to spend something, right, to go get that guy in there. You'd be paid more than you're being paid right now. Maybe you wouldn't have been able to choose your spot like you wound up being able to do in Dallas, where there seems to be a sweet spot, right, for Collins there in Dallas, where Jeremy Parnell comes here to Jacksonville because they can't afford to pay their backup right tackle starter money. Jacksonville can. Doesn't mean they didn't like that player. As I've said, Jason Garrett has talked about Parnell since he left and how big a loss that is for the Dallas Cowboys. They chose to go with Doug Free. Well, now they get this super cheap, talented option at tackle to potentially be the guy that replaces Doug Free if he can play at the NFL level here in a couple of years. For the Cowboys, this worked out about as well as it could. I do wonder why a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago, when the police wanted to talk to him initially, he said no. And now he said yes and may have cost himself millions of dollars.
He may have, but I think the gambit that paid off for them was that, whether it was a bluff or whether he was telling the truth, that, hey, if we're not drafted in the first three rounds, we're not signing, and we're going to go back into next year's draft, which was his prerogative. And I think ultimately that is what scared teams off. And maybe some teams were put off by that and said, you know what? Who are you to dictate to us what we do? We're just not going to touch this guy, thereby not giving him the option. All it took, though, is one team to mix it up and go that route, but obviously no one did. Dallas right now appears to be the beneficiary of what's going on, as Sergio Garcia, did I mention, co-leader Sergio Garcia's group
after the birdie at
comes
16,
up to 17. We'll tell you later how things stand with those guys. But he did birdie 16. Do I feel bad for being greedy, Tony, that he had 9 feet for eagle and he only walked away with a birdie? I don't know. I guess I'll take the bird right
take
now.
The
but
bird.
Give us tip-top of the leaderboard. Hoffman. Sergio
Garcia and
Fathauer.
Derek Fathauer.
Fathauer.
Six, yeah.
Fathauer. It's not Fathauer. It's Fathauer. So a three-way tie at the top for minus six. Nobody going super low so far
but
today.
The
right?
Scores are still pretty good today. I mean, you are seeing a bunch. We're seeing a bunch of guys that are making the turn at 2-3 under. So the scoring conditions, again, this morning, pretty good. If the wind doesn't pick up, the weather is not supposed to roll in today. So if the wind doesn't really pick up this afternoon, you're looking at a pretty balanced first couple rounds for these guys, where potentially there was no real advantage, you know, whether you were playing in the morning or in the afternoon. So we'll see.
By the way, Amanda on Twitter at ACRJax said Nocatee to TPC is also a parking lot. Thank you, Amanda. So there's no sneaking around. You know what's not a parking lot? A1A. But you got to drive all the way to St. Augustine to use it. So, and guess what? That's the advantage of living there, I guess, at least for this week out of the year, because I've had zero issues and rarely do come in A1A and leave right. in A1A as far as that goes. So, hey, regardless, however long it takes you to get out here, be safe, be smart, take your time. Once you're out here, it's going to be a great party all afternoon. And, you know, if you're partying, party responsibly, obviously. What a perfect, perfect day once again, second day. Wind a little bit breezier maybe earlier than it was yesterday, but regardless, some very good scoring conditions. So come on out and enjoy one of the crown jewels of the PGA Tour, and maybe pull some double duty, and I'll see you this afternoon at Jaguar Rookie Minicamp. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, take Claude Nolan Cadillac Friday. Let's send things over to the Media Center. Jack O'Brien standing by with a Players Championship update.
Here's a 1010XL 92.5 FM Casa Marina Hotel and Restaurant Players Championship Update.
Hello, everyone, and very good Friday morning to everybody. We're live at the Media Center. This report is sponsored by Ackerman Cancer Center and by Underwood Jewelers. So right now, we've got four players tied at the lead at minus six, including first-round leader Charlie Hoffman. Sergio Garcia just jumped into that first-round slot. He's now minus three for the day through seven, minus six. Kevin Na, minus one for the day. He's also at six under. And Derek Fathauer, 29-year-old out of Jupiter, Florida, kind of an unknown here at the Players, is also at six under par. As we look at our Tiger check, he's even par for the day, still plus one for the tournament. Phil Mickelson now at one under for the day. He's now even for the tournament. We are live at the Media Center at the Stadium Club at Sawgrass. I'm Jack O'Brien. We'll be back in 20 minutes.
1010XL, 92.5 FM is your ultra station for the Players Championship.
As it gets.
On the air, on the site, and on the web. Powered by Michelob Ultra, the official beer of the PGA Tour.
I don't have really any reaction. Our owner commented on it yesterday, and it's only been 30 hours, so I haven't had much time to digest it fully, but when I do, I'll be sure to let you know how I feel about it.
Nah, hasn't had time. 30 hours, not nearly enough time when it's basically a document questioning your integrity and your legacy and all those things. You read it, Tony?
Yeah, I read it, and it has nothing to do with me.
Not enough time for Tom Brady to dig into that old document there. As Jim Gray didn't give him, it wasn't straight softballs one after another, you know. He asked
Gray's pretty good about that, generally speaking.
Sometimes he goes too far, like he did with Pete Rose a few years ago. It was not the arena to do that, I didn't think. But regardless, you know, Tom Brady basically didn't have much to say. The Brady supporters calling it a witch hunt. Brady trying to laugh it off. Gronk saying, why don't you talk about my charity work? I mean, really, Gronk? I mean, is that what you're promoting? I mean, maybe he does charity work, but
yeah.
I thought Gronk wanted to be known for his party work more than anything.
Sure.
Whatever. I mean, nobody's accusing Gronk of deflating the footballs.
Does Gronk realize that most players, if they partied in public the way that we know that Rob Gronkowski does, that we would give them no pass on it? Like,
right.
We don't treat most players who do what you do like we treat you, Gronk.
But
like this lovable animal in the league.
But he acts like a big loop, but he's never, I mean, to
never
my knowledge,
trouble.
Like no DUI,
no.
Nothing like that. He's never caused a ruckus in the club, you know, that he goes to or whatever, to my knowledge. And, you know, maybe he has, I don't know. But Tiger Woods has brought the gallery to 17 with him. They're out in,
you aren't kidding.
In force. It's gorgeous, man. Just look at all the colors out there of all the people. You know, like you said, it's kind of like Easter Sunday, right? That's what you get, the mix of bright pastels and what have you. It's a great backdrop right now. Gorgeous out here at the Players' Championship where Charlie Hoffman, solo in the lead at 7-under par.
Yes, he is. We've seen three consecutive groups here at 17 with a ball in the water. We'll see if this group makes it four or not here in the next couple of minutes.
To avoid.
But we have seen a bunch of the leaders come through here in the last 15 or 20 minutes or so. Sergio Garcia just walked away with a par here on number 17, so he stays at 6-under, just one stroke behind the lead of Charlie Hoffman.
All right, now Gene is on the line, and Gene seems like a guy who is a public servant. He's got a different way of approaching Sawgrass that he says has allowed him to go without tapping the brakes the entire time. Gene, good morning. How are you, sir?
Absolutely. I met you on the practice facility. I work out there part-time on the PF. That's my retirement job. And
okay, cool.
Yeah, TPC Gene. Anyway, I came up Nocatee Parkway, and when you hit the traffic circle just over the canal, everyone's going left. Do not go left. Go straight up Michler's, straight to A1A, hang a left. You're going to come in the back door that way.
Yeah, that's pretty much it, right? Because everyone sees the signs there.
Everybody's
right,
making left at the traffic circle, and I went straight, and I'm telling you, I live 41 miles from here. I made it from the west side in 44 minutes.
You know, that's great. Thank you, Gene. We appreciate that, man. The few times I've gone that route, I've always come out that way anyway, you know, because I don't know what it is, because I passed that on the way home on A1A, and I guess, you know, that direct route, everyone thinks, okay, well, I'm getting close because I see the signs for the parking, and that's where everybody flows. And
well, yeah.
He's basically saying that last little piece, you just keep going straight, you jump down Michler's or Michler's, whatever it is, out to A1A, hang a left, and when you get to Nocatee, hang a left right to the parking lot, and
yeah.
You're going to avoid most
that's
of it.
That's how I come out here when I
not
every
anymore.
Year for this thing. Right. But it's been nice.
Know.
It's been nice. So all of you people, keep turning left. Leave me alone and let me go on
Michler's. Like I said, just take US-1 straight south
right.
Till you hit St. Augustine,
uh-huh.
Okay? Cut over to Volano Beach, hang a left.
Well, I'm debating with myself because I have this – I want to go out for camp tomorrow, right? But I'm supposed to be out here to do a show at 4 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. So I know I can't stay for the whole camp.
Right.
So now it's a how long can I stay and
– 2 o'clock.
When do I want – or how do I want to get out here? Do I want to go from the stadium and come all the way back around to Nocatee, which is what I think I'm going to do now because I just – A1A is going to be an absolute parking lot at 2 o'clock. It's going to be worthless to even try. It's going to be an hour and 15 minutes would be my guess at that time of day. But I do want to at least get out for part of this rookie minicamp here over the course of the next 2 days. And I know I can't get out there this afternoon, so tomorrow's it. in that first 45 minutes, but I think I'm going to make the big loop all the way back around to Nocatee and take my Micklers. All you people keep turning left.
Yeah, keep hanging the left. That Gene's advice works on Friday,
right?
Not so much on midday Saturday. As far as although Saturday, Tony, I wonder what the dynamic is, because you know Friday again, people work in the morning, try to get some work done, then come out Saturday. If you have the whole day free, maybe you're getting out here a little bit earlier.
Maybe a little bit earlier, but you are talking about that's around the time the leaders are going to be getting on the golf course.
True.
Now, it certainly looks right now like Tiger Woods will probably be out earlier than that, that Phil Mickelson will probably be out earlier than that, assuming that they do make the cut and are playing on the weekend here. So maybe some of the galleries will be out here, but the leaders at least won't be going out until about that time.
A note and a reminder, as we've mentioned to you several times this week, go to Jaguars.com. If you want to attend Rookie Minicamp for the Jags, go to Jaguars.com/Rookie Minicamp and register. You have to do it if you want to get in. It's free. It doesn't cost you anything, but they're trying to, you know, keep account of what's going on, and you can register. One registration, you can bring up to four people on that registration, but you have to do it if you want to get in. It's not going to cost you anything, but take care of that ahead of time. So when you show up, you go, don't go, oh, my goodness, I totally forgot. What am I going to do now? You know, I don't know. I didn't hear any horror stories about it last year because I think the word got out and people took advantage of it and just, you know, did what they were supposed to do ahead of time. So hopefully they'll continue to do that this year. Who are you looking forward to seeing out there tomorrow?
You know, I talked a little bit about it, but I want to see – you know, Dante Fowler Jr., just kind of the attitude for the first time on the field for the Jacksonville Jaguars. I know, look, this is a – we went out for this thing last year with all the excitement, with all the new pieces, with Bortles and two wide receivers and all these new things coming here to Jacksonville. This year's a little bit different because there's not quite that same buzz because of the positions that they drafted. But honestly, I mean, look, I'm going to be out there watching wide receivers. Right, I mean, I'm going to be watching Rashad Green. I don't know how much you can tell about any of the offensive linemen since they're not going to be in pads. I think that you can tell early on if somebody is out of their element, right?
If they're kind of overwhelmed by the
right,
whole thing, yeah.
Right, I think you can tell that kind of thing at this kind of camp. I know I heard Tony Boselli telling the story earlier this week about a third-round draft pick from years ago when he was still playing, and he went out watching rookie minicamp, and he was like, who is that guy? Like, he was asking Coffin, he's like, who is that guy? And he was like, oh, that's our third-round pick. He's like, he can't play.
Oh, no.
Like, he's like, he can't play at all. Like, so I think you can tell those kind of things at these kind of camps. But other than that, that's not really any X's and O's. It's more about watching the way the guys carry themselves a little bit and getting them that first exposure to an NFL-style practice. So, look, it's an exciting time because there's going to be guys wearing Jaguars helmets tomorrow on a field. And from a fan perspective, I can understand the excitement of going out and seeing all the new pieces, but you're not going to learn much about anybody over the course of a weekend like this.
No, you're not. But still, like you said, it's kind of, if you're a hardcore, now's the time to get out there in a pretty low-key environment.
Hey,
get
I'm
some
looking
autographs,
forward to it, too. I'm with you.
You know, go pick up your authentic Jaguar jersey and, you know, Dante Fowler. Are they out there? They got to be out there right now, right?
I would think so.
You'd think they'd have
if them they haven't been out there yet,
you know
they'd
what
be
I,
out there tomorrow.
You know what
today,
I saw in
I'm
Chicago,
guessing.
Tony? They had I don't know what, these little mini figurines, okay? I was in the NFL shop, which, by the way, do you see the picture I tweeted out from the NFL shop up in Chicago with the Jaguars' old logo helmet?
Yeah.
They were selling for $325 authentic NFL helmets. And the Jags, and was it a throwback, anything like that? That was the one they used, the old logo. Way to go, NFL. Seriously. So I'm in the NFL shop up there, and they had these little mini figurines. This is Friday night. Mm-hmm. Round one's in the books. That's the only round that's in the books. You could buy Jameis Winston in a Bucks jersey. You could buy Kevin White in a Bears jersey. You could buy about a half dozen of them in the jerseys. They got them produced and in the shop
beforehand.
Did they?
They had to have. They had to have like just made a limited
that's
number
a good
of
point.
Them. For the day of the draft, and if they happen to go to this team, then we'll have them ready.
And, there
and
were,
with it
you
being
know,
in Chicago, it makes sense that they would
want
right, to have a couple
Bears,
options.
Right.
Yes.
Boy, I mean, Jameis Winston, I get.
Yeah.
Pretty easy to figure. But there were some of them I was like, wow, really? Man, that's pretty good stuff. I don't remember if I saw Todd Gurley in a Rams. Had I seen that, I wouldn't have been buying your theory. either way, I was impressed. Maybe I was just maybe you're right. Maybe they just mass produced.
It's the NFL.
A bunch
it's not like they can't afford to
do
that.
Which, by the way, if they did mass produce a bunch of them, they probably cost them about 5 cents a piece to make, right? And they're charging you who knows how much for these little things. They're a little. They almost look like Lego people, but they're about twice the size of a little minifigure in Legos. I know a bunch of parents out there know exactly what I'm talking about right now. By the way, Tony Aguilini just tweeted and said, from Nocatee Parkway, they diverted us to Roscoe Road, and we pretty much breezed in just now. So still, overall, that's the route to take as opposed to Butler to A1A. But not everybody has that option or is so inclined to drive all the way around the loop to get there. So,
sure.
You know, whatever the case is, there's plenty of people out here that have already arrived. Top of the leaderboard. Well, we'll take a look right now as we send it back to the media center. Jack O'Brien with this Players' Championship update.
And now, this date in football history.
All right, this date in football history brought to you by the Best Fence Company of Jacksonville. Tony, let's go back to 1959. They call him Nine Fingers. Ronnie Lott was born on this date in football history. And really,
was it Jeff Loggeman who was talking about that story and said that if you ask him, like, behind closed doors, you may get an answer that you'd be surprised by about whether he cut that finger off again? Was it Loggeman or somebody else that was telling us about that?
I'm not sure, but it sounds
so
dramatic.
Yeah.
Right, but it's truly, if you take that last little bit of your pinky finger, it's about a third of that is cut off. Like, as far down maybe as your fingernail goes, it's still, you know, not something I want to have done necessarily, but it was used as an example of just how, you know, Ronnie Lott was just all about being the ultimate tough guy and being out there, not missing any time. He is 56 years old today, Tony, a 10-time Pro Bowler, 6-time first team All-Pro, and of course a member of the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Also on this date in football history, 1974, a more tragic figure, Corey Stringer, was born, went on to go to Ohio State University where he was an All-American, played with the Minnesota Vikings, and as we recall, passed away from heat stroke, Corey Stringer did, which really changed the way back in 2001 the NFL and college football teams dealt with that issue to a large degree. It was August 1st of 2001 when Corey Stringer passed away. At the time, he was 6'4", 335 pounds, the smallest he had ever been in his professional career. And he had played over 90 games in the pros at that point in time. And put an emphasis more on fitness as well. We don't need these 350-pound guys running around out there in the heat. So we still see a lot of big men, obviously, in the National Football League. But Corey Stringer, unfortunate death, brought a lot of focus onto, you know, prevention of some of these issues going on with these guys. And, I mean, you think back to the Junction Boys and all this. No water. You're a sissy if you need water. Now it's all about let's hydrate these guys. Let's put them in the shade when it's appropriate. Let's stop if you're feeling woozy, that kind of thing. And it's no longer a question of questioning somebody's manhood. Not saying that never happens in football, but it's a lot better than it used to be. So those things happen on this date in football history, brought to you by the Best Fence Company of Jacksonville. Fencing is an investment in your home. Your family's going to feel protected. You're going to breathe easier knowing the Best Fence Company installed your new fence for your home or business. Get a professional free estimate at your convenience by calling 904-268-1638 or visit bestfencejacks.net for more information. That is this date in football history.
Now, the Honda Drive Around the NFL, brought to you by your Jacksonville area Honda dealers.
Seattle Seahawks defensive end Michael Bennett said yesterday that he is looking for a raise only. He's not looking to be traded by Seattle. Bennett said, quote, "I think everyone who has a job, they want a raise for whatever they're doing. I'm just like any other American. I think everybody wants to be paid a little more, so I don't think I fall short of that." Seattle is already looking at juggling the contract negotiations of Russell Wilson right now, and general manager John Schneider has said that he will not renegotiate contracts with current players. The latest between the Seahawks and Wilson, according to Danny O'Neill of ESPN 710 in Seattle, is that the two sides are tens of millions apart in their contract negotiations. Wilson, after back-to-back Super Bowl appearances, including a Super Bowl championship, is scheduled to make $1.5 million this season. So we'll see if that contract can get done. We're getting into the the real months of the summer here in the NFL. They're about to start turning their attention towards mini camps, that kind of thing. Don't know how much longer both sides are going to be willing to be talking about this. You know, once we get into July, you would think it'd be done. You know, they're not going to talk again until after this season about what's going on with his contract, but we'll see.
You know, though, it's not like Russell Wilson's negotiating this, right?
No, it's his agent.
It's his agent. So
it works that way for whatever reason.
I know it does, but it just mystifies me sometimes why that's the case. You know, I guess the agent has to go back to him and say, hey, here's where we are. Let me give you an update. But it's not like he is in a negotiating room with a legal pad with bullet points, and here's what I've done over the last couple of years of my career. Here's the thing I'm thinking. If I'm Seattle, what's the franchise tag? 20-ish million dollars,
something
right,
like
for
that.
A quarterback, right? Let's call it 20 million bucks, just to make it easy. Okay, I got Russell Wilson signed to a two-year, $22 million deal right now. Basically, right? You got it for 1.5. You know you can franchise the guy. What's he going to do, not play? I mean, I don't see that as being likely. Now, you start to get into franchising him again and again, then you escalate that percentage so much higher so it becomes a little less tenable. But right now, they're not in panic mode. It's not like this is the final year they're going to have control of him. They would be willing to franchise tag him, I'm sure, if something can't be worked out. You're not going to let Russell Wilson walk for no compensation.
No.
So, you know, they got to be looking at it like right now we got a top 10 quarterback. And that's what he's played like. Let's say he's not just a game manager. I hate that. You look at this TD to interception ratio. They don't ask him to do as much, but what he does is spectacular. He's been a game changer. So if you've got a quarterback that good, that important to your success, and he came within an eyelash of winning two Super Bowls, and had the Patriots not cheated their entire franchise history, probably would have, I'm guessing. I mean, I don't know that for a fact. That's pure speculation, allegedly,
right.
On my part, that, you know, you've got him under contract for about $10 million a year, which is a bargain.
Sure. I mean, we're talking about a touchdown interception ratio. I'm looking at it right now. 72-26. 72-26
is that good?
In 3 years.
Is that good?
That's excellent.
That's ridiculous.
For Russell Wilson. And honestly, I get it. They don't ask Russell Wilson to be the focal point of that offense, right? They run the ball. That's why they have Marshawn Lynch. They play terrific.
Yeah. Who else runs the ball, though? He does.
Right. I mean, but there is – he adds something to that offense, right? I mean, he does. He adds something to that offense. Rushed for 724 yards last year, including six touchdowns. So he was a weapon for that team. There is this – we knew once we heard talks that these two sides were negotiating, and Schneider came out and was basically very strong in his comments from the very beginning of this story, right? That, you know, we're not going to overpay for this guy. We're going to do what's right for the organization, right for the franchise going forward. Well, we watched these guys in the up, like Matt Castle, right, who bounces around from team to team to team, like McCown, who has bounced around from team to team to team because they had parts or whole seasons where they were pretty good. Well, Russell Wilson has been great for you for 3 years. Do you really want to throw yourself back into the quarterback pool of trying to figure out via the draft or free agency? You found the guy. Now you have to pay him like the guy. And while he doesn't do it the same way that everyone else does, you're winning football games.
Yeah, what is he worth? He's already made that franchise well more than they're going to pay him on his
He's
next
got the
contract.
Most popular jersey in the NFL. He's been the number one selling jersey for the last 2 years. Russell Wilson.
He's won him a Super Bowl and took him to another
right,
one.
He is an immensely, he's a great football player, and he's really valuable for that franchise. And it's this, when you saw the fallout from the Super Bowl last year, right? In Seattle, where you
sure.
saw these divisions in this locker room really show up for the first time, where there were guys talking about the reason they threw the ball on that play was because they felt like the coaches were trying to prop up their golden boy, their guy, in Russell Wilson over a guy like Marshawn Lynch. And from the outside looking in, you hear something like that, you're like, this is crazy.
Right.
This is for a team to be in that situation, their second Super Bowl in a row, they've been dominant for 3 years in the National Football League, for anybody on that roster to feel like the coaches are trying to prop up one guy over another, the divisions in that locker room, there has to be something to it. They've paid Marshawn Lynch. They've paid Richard Sherman. They've paid Earl Thomas. They've paid all these other guys. It's time to pay Russell Wilson.
Look, I think there's probably jealousy in every locker room, no matter how good your locker room environment is, right? I mean, everyone talks about the Patriot way, right? Well, Wes Welker wasn't so happy with the Patriot way when he finally left. The Patriot way is we don't complain about it publicly
right.
while we're on that roster. That's the Patriot way, and that's a good way to be. But don't tell me there aren't those jealousies and those divisions in any locker room. It's easier when you're winning consistently to not have them.
Sure.
But it's going to happen, and I don't doubt for a minute there are people think, oh, Russell's a golden boy. I mean, that's kind of the nature of the quarterback position as well, and the bitterness you had to feel in that moment when you're thinking, boy, give it a beast mode a couple of times, and we're going to win the Super Bowl,
right.
And then they opt to go the other way. If you already have a seed of that kind of doubt in your mind, this is going to make it even bigger.
It was a bad decision, and while they're not saying it publicly, I think they know they shouldn't have made the decision they made when everything is said and done. And for all those out there who say they look at Russell Wilson and skill set and say, well, anybody could win with that roster, then why isn't Matt Flynn playing quarterback for the Seahawks? If
right.
anybody could do it, then why isn't the guy they traded for the season that they drafted, Russell Wilson, playing quarterback for that franchise? Because Russell's better.
And he's a lot cheaper than
right.
Matt Flynn.
He's
they signed
better.
Matt Flynn to a much bigger contract
right.
as far as that went. Russell Henley, by the way, is your sole leader right now at the players. It's 7 under par through 12 holes of play today. My man Sergio drove it in the rough on 18, had to pitch out to the fairway, and
18
ultimately,
will get
yeah, ultimately
18 will get you.
Had to lay up about 96 yards short and made a bogey there. So he's at 5 under par. Charlie Hoffman, Kevin Na, Derek Fathauer is all three at 6 under par right now. So a nice little bunched up leaderboard near the top. Deki Matsuyama, one of the co-leaders yesterday, goes off at 1:17 p.m. When he starts his round today. And some of the other guys, Troy Merritt, was when he finished among the leaders,
he was
a co-leader.
Off. Yeah, he was one off
at
for
the end of the
entire afternoon.
Right,
yeah.
But when he finished, he was at 4 under par. He goes off at 12:46 today. Billy Horschel going off at 1:38 today, as you can hear us trying to bring the volume down just a little bit as the next group is on the tee at 17. Gorgeous, as it always is,
oh, yeah.
at the players, but when you get the weather like this, it can't be beat.
And by the way, I know there's somebody out there thinking it, so I'll just put it out there too. I readily admit that Russell Wilson's my favorite player in the league, right? I love Russ, and that has nothing to do with my comments about what the Seahawks should or shouldn't do with that guy. The guy's been a really good, productive player for them. It's time for them to pay him. I'm curious to see how it's going to look because there were the rumors that it was going to be an all-guaranteed contract, which is not something that you see to kind of save them some money on one end or the other. So we'll see what winds up happening. But my love for Russ is not clouding my opinion of Russ in this particular
I'll
case.
Be the judge of that.
But I love me some Russell Wilson.
All right. When we return here in a moment, live at the Players' Championship, perched above the tee at 17. We'll be joined by former Jaguar quarterback David Garrard, a frequent co-host on the program. Get his thoughts on the Jags draft class circa 2015 and give you a continuing leaderboard updates. It's a Claude Nolan Cadillac Friday. Glad to have those guys on board as well. Claude Nolan Cadillac since 1905, the preferred Cadillac dealer here in Northeast Florida with the largest selection of new and pre-owned Cadillacs in Jacksonville with absolutely no dealer fees and the only Cadillac dealer in North Florida selling and servicing the ELR, an on-site body shop. They're going to paint and repair any Cadillac model. Claude Nolan Cadillac is guaranteed to offer you the highest level in customer care and service. The elegance and experience of driving a Cadillac just one step away. You can build your lasting relationship by logging on to claudenolan.com or visit them at 4700 Southside Boulevard. Call 642-5111. That's 642-5111 for Claude Nolan Cadillac, our Friday sponsor of Jaguars today. On the road and our home away from home, away from home. I'll be heading out soon to go to minicamp, but not before we talk with David Garrard, former Jaguar quarterback, coming up.
One more thing about Russell. I'm just kidding.
Stop it.
I'm talking.
That's a good one. Let's head out to the media center.
Throws a great deep ball.
Jack O'Brien's got a Players' Championship update.
Here's a 1010XL 92.5 FM Casa Marina Hotel and Restaurant Players' Championship update.
Very good morning, everyone. On this Friday, I'm Jack O'Brien from the Media Center. This report sponsored by the Casa Marina Hotel and Restaurant and by Amosons. Three players are -5 for the day, including Sangmun Bae and Bill Haas. They both worked their way into contention at 5 under. And also this other Russell, Tony, Russell Henley, the Georgia grad, 5 under for the day, now 7 under for the tournament, a 1-stroke lead over Brandon Grace, Charlie Hoffman, and Kevin Na. Tiger is 1 under for the day, just saved par on 18. Good job, Tiger. And Phil Mickelson, oops, makes triple bogey on 18 with a triple bogey 7. He goes to +3, hit the ball in the water in his second shot. We're live from the Media Center at the Stadium Club at Sawgrass. We'll be back in 20 minutes. I'm Jack O'Brien.
All right, we continue on Cardinal and Cadillac Friday. Jaguars today, live at the Players. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you. Skinny T.
Yeah,
as Dave Caldwell likes to call you now.
The general calls me.
Yeah, the general's got his own name for you, and that's just fine. He can call you whatever he likes. let me tell you this, that Russell Henley's still atop the leaderboard at 7 under par. Tiger Woods currently even, although the spies tell us they've just yanked his drive on number one left, which he did yesterday. He hit 3 wood off the tee in the first couple holes yesterday, Tony, and drove it left on both of them. That's not a good sign. So it did surprise me. You said he thought he hit it well yesterday and didn't score. But right now he's even par, which is right on the cut line. Now, keep in mind, there's a whole wave of afternoon guys. It could go either way. If the wind picks up, maybe that cut line goes to plus one. Maybe
feels
it goes
like it's
the other way.
It picked up here in just
does
the last
feel
10
like
minutes.
It's picked up. Right now, Phil Mickelson, according to our on-site, on-course reporter David Garrard, hit one in the water. On number 18, DG9. How are you, sir?
I am good. I can tell you I'll never be Josh Scobie and challenge Tiger to a tournament. Or
you're not gonna
no,
do that.
He could hit it left and right as many times as he want.
How many strokes would you need to, play Tiger?
Let's see.
What do you shoot?
I shoot normally 100 and... No.
I don't know.
No, I'm usually around that area.
Around 100-ish.
So, yeah. Right, so well, I need some work.
You need a little bit of work. I'd say you probably need
whatever,
then...
Man. Sounds have a like good time about, getting around the golf course. It's all that
I just
matters.
Have fun, yeah.
You need about 18 aside, sounds like.
At least.
To a hole.
At least.
To a hole. And
and if I hit any parked cars, then that should be extra bonus points for me.
that's the way we all play. And that's
there
the way
you go.
Everybody plays the game of golf.
I love it.
I know I'm not going to have much time with you because I'm going to get out of here soon. You may be hanging around a little bit with Tony, but you were excited. I could tell you were excited because you're texting me on Monday like, when do you want me in? When do you want me to come by? I want to come in and talk about this
you
draft.
You know when I'm excited that week. Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's
we got one on the tee. Let's let him get out of here, and then we'll get back to it.
I forgot this is not football.
See, I've been,
we're 50 yards away, but we still have to be quiet.
You're right.
They're all out of here now.
They're moving on with claps and applause, and here we go. So your reaction, man. I mean, the first thing you said when you sat down, you said, huh, bunch of guys from big schools, basically. Yeah. Isn't that refreshing? And, I mean, it's kind of been the theme under Dave Caldwell.
It is. And, you know, I was very happy to see the draft the way it happened, to see after Dante Fowler Jr., who I think is going to be a tremendous player, and I'm hoping that he is a, you know, 8-9-year Pro Bowler type guy. But after him, it just seemed like, man, it just all started to fall in place. And I know that you were saying that you didn't want to get a running back in that second round, that kind of stuff. All I kept saying the whole time I'm watching the draft is, if we don't get the best running back in the second round possible to help out Blake in the backfield, it's the way that you want your quarterback, if you really want him to be great, is to surround him with guys like Mojo, who just retired. You
sure.
know, you got to surround him with those type of guys. They've got some receivers around them, young guys. I did want to see them get somebody in free agency to.
And they tried.
More,
I mean,
yeah,
they pursued
they
Randall Cobb.
No, you know? I didn't say they didn't try. They definitely tried. But you want those kind of guys to be around your quarterback because that's what makes your team great. It's great to have all these other players on defense, but you've got to make your quarterback great. When you see Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, those guys out there on the field, they're great because the guys around them are great. Now, Tom Brady.
It's great because of the air pressure as well.
Yeah, that too, exactly. That helps them. But it's because they have weapons around them. You don't see Peyton Manning going anywhere on any teams with no weapons around them, with just a bunch of rookies out there. Tom Brady's a little different. He has had kind of suspect receivers, but he's always had a top-end tight end. He's always had one at least receiver that he can go to, right, like Randy Moss. But you've got to have those guys because it's a quarterback league. Everybody says that. And if you're not scoring any points and you're asking your quarterback to do a lot of things with guys that are either young or just don't have that ability, it's just going to make your team not that good.
You know, with Brady, his early days, when he didn't have that dominant receiver, he had a dominant running game with either Antoine Smith or Corey Dillon
yep.
at the time, who were workhorse backs. They flipped it now. Then the middle portion of his career there, they got Randy Moss and Wes Welker in,
yeah.
and they put up tons of points, and they went to more of a running back by committee. And now you're right, they became a tight end-centric offense, particularly when they had both Gronk and Hernandez. Still got Gronk, who's the matchup nightmare.
Not
but look, I would have waited on the running back, but I don't think that makes it a bad pick or a wrong
yeah,
pick.
Yeah.
Dave Caldwell's philosophy, Tony, which he told us this week, is he likes the 6'1", 220-pound back.
That's a big back.
He wants a big guy. I mean, he's going to go by the book. He wants a guy who played at a big school if he can get him because he's played against top competition. Yep. He wants a big guy because they're able to withstand the pounding more. You know, to me, I would have been fine with Duke Johnson in the third round, which would have been available to them. And that's not his philosophy, and I'm cool with that, man. There are different ways to bake the cake. I hope his way is the best way to bake the cake.
And also Rashard Greene in the fifth round. When somebody told me that they drafted him, I didn't see that part of the draft. I said, there's no way he was in the fifth round. I mean, he was one of the best wide receivers in college football. You know, I know he's a small frame and he's not a blazer, those kind of things, but the guy gets open and the guy catches a lot of passes. They asked Jameis Winston, they said, you know, on half of the plays that he's going over with Gruden, you know, who are you throwing to here? Who's your read? And he said Greene just about every time.
Yeah.
When you see somebody like Greene catch 140 passes and the next person catch 40 balls, that tells everybody on defense the ball's going to him, but he's still getting open and he's still catching his passes. So I think that's great for somebody and for his ability. He plays the slot. He plays it. He's going to be able to play it well. You don't have to be a big guy. We've never really had a big slot receiver. You look at guys like Mike Thomas, even my receiver before Mike Thomas, who was he, from Cleveland. He was a free agent, came in.
You don't know.
Northcutt.
Oh. Dennis Northcutt.
We're trying to erase that name out of
I know, I know,
like,
I know.
I'm thinking it's got to be some obscure guy.
No, he did well all the way up until he ran that post for me against the Patriots. He's still a buddy of mine.
Well, he was used to a fully inflated football. Clearly, he didn't get one on that day.
Clearly. Oh, man. You know, but then everybody else, too, in the draft, I was right on board. I didn't even see anything the next day after everything came out. Just my thoughts alone, I thought, man, this has got to be one of the best drafts the Jags have ever had. If this is not an A draft, it's at least a B+, and it's great to argue for it. These are my thoughts coming out of before I saw anybody write up on it. And
Kuiper gave him a B+. He's the only one who didn't give him an A.
You know what? I haven't liked Kuiper since I was, since I was coming to college. So. And my wife hates him even more.
Hey,
so.
B+ is not a bad grade, regardless.
No,
you
it's
know,
really but, not. But we didn't address one of our big needs, according to Kuiper, with cornerback. He's had corner listed as a big need for the Jags for months now. I never understood it.
I guess 32 rosters, they don't study them all equally.
No, they don't. And they get a little dibble, a little dab here. But he knows who he's going to be talking about the majority of the time. So he's gone over the Patriots and the Broncos. He's gone over the Jets and all those guys. He knows they're guys in and out. The Jags, he kind of probably took a half of a evening and just looked at it real quick.
It's like the people throughout the process who said what they really need help at is right guard. It's like one position
the
on the offensive line,
on the line
that they don't feel bad. And really, you know, talking about offensive line, that goes to the Patriots, and you talk about how they built that thing. You mentioned the five different ways they've won. They've won all those times because their offensive line has been really, really good in front of Tom Brady. He's never had to worry about getting killed. He's always been safe in that pocket with whatever style of offense they want to run. And you look at where the Jaguars are now compared to where they have been really for the past 4 or 5 years, they look like they have more depth on that offensive line than they've had in a long, long time.
Absolutely. You know, you need playmakers at the skill positions, but you also need playmakers with the big uglies. I mean, those guys, if you're a quarterback, you want to be able to stand out there and feel like you're just throwing the ball on air with no rush or anybody out there. And so when you have a legit offensive line in front of you, like a Tom Brady has had for a number of years of his career, it just makes the game so much easier. You can wait half a second to let a guy get a little bit more open as opposed to having to throw the thing off your back foot with pressure barreling down you and throw a dime to somebody to just get a basic outcut. Sorry, we got somebody on the tee here.
Sorry, you're excited. Fans. I'm glad you're excited, man. I think Jag fans are excited. You know, but it's like Dave Caldwell told us the other day. He's not fist pumping in his office right now. They don't think of it that way. This is the next step in the process.
Still got to go play.
Win the Super Bowl, there'll be some fist pumping, right? Yeah. I mean, they'll allow themselves some fist pumping.
Get back to the playoffs and there'll be some fist pumping.
I'm sure there will be, you know? And, you know, win some games on Sunday.
Absolutely.
You can win the offseason all you like. It doesn't mean anything, you know. We thought they had a good offseason last year. This year, it seems like universally this maybe the best collective free agency draft offseason that the Jags have had.
I thought they did have a good offseason last year. I also thought they had 18 million rookies on the field at the same time throughout most of the season. And it didn't matter how good your offseason was. In the end, rookies are rookies, and they have to grow up a little bit. It was, you know, when you go back and watch games, you can see it, right? You can see it where everybody but the one guy screwed it up on that particular play, and because that guy didn't quite get it done the right way, everything collapsed on that play, but it looked like there might have been something there. And it felt like there was a lot of that kind of thing happening for the Jaguars last year. But I felt like they did have a good offseason, and honestly, I think it helps them this year because you are talking about a bunch of guys that instead of going into their rookie years are going into their second and their third years. And the expectations that we had for them last year I think are more realistic going into year two.
Yeah, people talk about all the new starters they may have this year, and that, which is true, but at one game last year, they started eight rookies on offense.
Yeah.
On offense. One on one side of the football.
On one side of the ball.
You're looking at, Dave, you're going to start Fowler. You would expect, if not the first snap of the first game, he's heavy rotation right from the jump. T.J. Yeldon's going to be your starting running back. Can push for a starting job and may win it, but and Sample as well, but those aren't locks, those aren't guarantees. So maybe you get two, maybe you get three, and maybe as the season goes on, those other two guys become more prominent in the role. But what you're going to have is a bunch of free agents who played a lot of football. Julius Thomas, Jared Odrick, guys like that. And some of them who haven't played as much football, but they're veterans. They've been through their first contract in the NFL. So it's not as scary a proposition.
You know, and that's the thing is when you have rookies, they don't know what to expect. They don't know what to expect from this day going forward. And so when you're a veteran and you've been through the ringer, you've had your name written up that you had made bad plays or you made great plays, you've been through OTAs, you've been through training camp, you know all the things to expect. That gives you a peace and a calm about yourself to go out there and just make plays. When you're a rookie, you're flying around, your head is spinning, your coaches are yelling, your teammates are asking for more from you, all these different things. And so once game day comes around, you try to you're trying to calm yourself before the first snap of the ball of opening day. And it's just, it's a lot. It's a lot. And so it's tough for guys to make that transition. You don't have a whole lot of Anquan Boldens that come in and just catch a ton of passes and just seamlessly flow right into the league.
You're getting a few more these days, but it's still, you get spoiled when you, for every Odell Beckham Jr., there are a lot of guys that take a while to get in gear. I'll tell you, according to Shot Tracker, Tiger Woods came out of the rough on number one when he pulled his tee shot. I'm presuming with a three wood because it's 423 yard hole. He had 200 and something to the green, and I think he missed the green right. Just finished up with a bogey there, which drops into plus one, which is in a tie for 81st right now. So I'm going to say this: if you want to see some Tiger this weekend, you better hope he picks it up. Or I hope you're not on the way because the traffic has been deadly. Which way did you come, by the way?
I actually had a couple connections called through Marsh Landing, so I went through Marsh Landing, and my buddy has grandparents that live out here at TPC, so we kind of finagled our way up into the parking lot. We had parking. And I actually knew somebody that was parking the cars with the. He used to be with the Jags, so he's like, "Yeah, come on in."
I know a guy or 10 guys.
Right. By the way, really quickly before we step aside and go to this the scoreboard update, just saw on Twitter the Houston Texans have signed their entire draft class.
Hey, you've seen that news throughout the course of the week, guys. Five guys.
Crazy the difference this slotting system.
I want to say one more thing before we break too. I want to go ahead and let you guys know that I am officially retiring. And it will be officially retired as a Jaguar.
Oh,
nice!
When
is that going to happen?
We're going to work it out, yes.
All right, it's
absolutely
coming.
But I want to make sure that I air that here on 1010XL.
You're a good man. Congratulations on that, Dave. You know, you've always been one of my favorite guys. So congrats, man. It was a good career for you. And continued success with this portion of your career.
Yeah, absolutely.
As well. And, I think this is the thing that put you over the tipping point. The seats we have today. You're really? What have I been missing?
Every day.
All right.
We'll just watch Joe Schmo come through
here. Well, you know a guy. Maybe we can do this every day.
I know a guy.
Okay.
That's right.
All right.
I never want to have to sit here and watch 17 rehabbing a knee again. I'm done with that.
I'm done with it. I'm just going to sit here in as good a health as I am right now. All right. I'm getting out of here. I'm going to head over to rookie minicamp. Dave, good to see you.
Absolutely.
Enjoy the golf this weekend. Tony. Take it home from here, and thanks to Cardinal and Cadillac, our Friday sponsor. Coming up, we'll head it right now, as a matter of fact, over to the Media Center. Jack O'Brien standing by with your latest look at the leaderboard.
Here's a 1010XL 92.5 FM Casa Marina Hotel and Restaurant Players Championship update.
All right, thank you, gentlemen, and good morning, everyone. Live from the Media Center at the Stadium Club, I'm Jack O'Brien. This report is brought to you by Edwin Watts Golf and by Bullard Fence. Russell Henley continues to hold on to a one-stroke lead. He's 5-under for the day through 13 and is 7-under par, a one-shot lead over Charlie Hoffman, Kevin Na, and continuing to hang on is Derek Fatauer. Also 2-under for the day and 6-under par. There's about 7 bunched up at 5-under, which include Jim Furyk and also Sergio Garcia. Furyk -3 for the day and Sergio at -2. Coming up at 149 today, off number 1, Rory McIlroy, Jordan Spieth, and Jason Day. And at 140, Billy Horschel, Matt Kuchar, and Bubba Watson. We'll be back in 20 minutes, live from the Media Center. This is Jack O'Brien.
Your ultra station for the players is 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Oh, what a shot!
Listen all week long for the very latest from the stadium course at TPC Sawgrass. Thanks to Michelob Ultra, the official beer of the PGA Tour.
Looking, A, to get out of it healthy, and B, just to get some work and kind of gauge where all the rookies are. And, you know, it's hard for these rookies. They go through... their season ends in January. They get ready for the combine, and then they go on all these trips and physicals and all this stuff, and they never really have an opportunity to get in shape. And so we just kind of gauge where they are and make sure that we have a plan going forward for all these guys that could put them in the best position to make the team.
Comments of David Caldwell joining Dempsey and I earlier this week right here on Jaguars Today, talking about getting ready for rookie minicamp as it gets started this afternoon. Here in about an hour and a half, 1:15 to 3 o'clock this afternoon, you can go check out the newest members of the Jacksonville Jaguars. I'm Fat Tony. Dave Garrard alongside as we're wrapping up a Claude Nolan Cadillac Friday here. And Dave, you know, you decide Mike's walking out the door. Mike's just walking out the door. And one of our favorites of all time is just going to be like, you know, before you go, I got one more thing. I'm retiring officially. Like, very cool, man. I know I put it out there on Twitter. A lot of people responding to it right now. But truly... David, you've been one of my favorite to cover. You've been awesome with Mike and I, obviously, coming in here and doing this kind of thing. Some of my greatest Jaguars memories are attached to you and some of the plays that you've made. But away from the field, dude, you've been amazing. And I just wanted to get that out there before we say goodbye today at some point.
Well, man, I appreciate that. It means a lot to me. And I've had a lot of fun here. And we are happy to make Jacksonville our home. You know, so we want to see more memories happen with the guys
right
on the field now.
Did you expect that? I mean, you get drafted out of East Carolina in the fourth round. You come to Jacksonville. They get Byron. Everything else that is going on, you're not really sure exactly how you're going to fit into this whole thing. Did you expect when you got here a year or two into your career that, hey, man, Jacksonville is going to be home for the rest of my life? This is where I'm going to be.
I did not know what to expect. Honestly, I came into the league hoping to play for – my goal was to make 5 or 6 years and, you know, just to be able to get on the field at some point in time. Give me a chance. That was my thing. And, you know, to be able early in my career, get on the field a few times, see that I could have success playing the game, and then really get out there and you know, make it my own at some point in time. And there was a lot of ups and downs. I mean, when they drafted Byron, that was a big blow, you know, because I had just got drafted. So I'm thinking, okay, at some point in the next couple of years, I'll be able to, you know, get on the field after Mark leaves or retires or whatever, you know, he was going to do. And then they draft Byron. So now I had to deal with that. And, you know, all the coaches, all the execs telling me, you know what, you're here. We want you to be here. We want you to battle with Byron. We want you to, you know, do your best to try to be the quarterback here. And so them giving me that confidence made me go out there and really want to stay, because my agent was really pushing for me after they drafted Byron to ask to be traded or to, you know, be let go, whatever it was. And I said, no, I want to give Jacksonville, I want to give the Jaguars a chance. I love it here. I love the staff, everybody that's here. And, you know, I thank the Lord that he gave me the abilities to stick with it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, because I did. I made a lot of memories for myself, too. I've been able to show my two girls, who are 3 and 2 now, some of Daddy's plays on on the internet now. So, you know, they never got to see me play live.
Right.
But, you know, it's pretty cool because they're actually pretty into the sport, and my son's into it. So, you know, I can kind of live through him a little bit now. But, yeah, I appreciate everything from the Jaguar fans. And you as well.
I'm sure there'll be more coming, man. Now that it's out there, if you want to get in touch with him via Twitter, at DavidGerard9, send your congratulations, whatever your favorite memories are. And it's funny, every time we do this with, you know, you, David, and a lot of the other players that come around when they make these announcements, it's crazy. And for you, really, how interactive you've been with this community, and it's the stories we hear about the things that you've done away from the field. They've been absolutely incredible. Nobody better than the community as an ambassador for the Jaguars over the course of this team's history. So, again, man, congratulations. You're going to have to answer all these questions 15 million times between now and whenever it happens. I know you're still trying to work out the details on when it's actually going to go down, but congratulations on a great career, and we're happy to have you as a member and a citizen of this city going forward, bro.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
And I do want to get to the fan feedback spotlight before we get out of here today. We're live from right above 17 here at Sawgrass. It's pretty incredible, the scene that we're out here for as we wrap up our coverage today on Jaguars Today. But the fan feedback spotlight, the Tom Bush Family of Dealerships ask Jaguars fans every day, what drives you? Rookie minicamp coming up later today. We ask you today, which player are you most excited about seeing at this weekend's rookie minicamp? From Paolo, we got, can't wait to see Jerry working Rashad Green this weekend. Jerry will work him, boy. I know that was one of the things I was watching last year during the rookie minicamp, just Allen Robinson and Marquise Lee with Jerry Sullivan. Robbie saying, TJ Yeldon, cannot wait to see what a true running back looks like. Been a few years since we've had one, with Mojo being the last guy. From Eric, I want to see if Rashad Green lives up to the hype as a pass-catching machine. Then Fowler from Cam. Dante Fowler Jr., saw him at Florida, so I know how hard he plays, and I hear he is intense at practice as well. From Cristiano, Justin Grant, from Brian, all of them, but really want to see Coach Gus, need a Gus fix. Hashtag bottle that enthusiasm. From Isaiah, Nick Marshall, and TJ Yeldon. Marshall, going to be an interesting guy to watch this weekend as well. And from James, Bennett and Green want to see how big Bennett is. Reason why he fell in the sixth round, and see Green snag a couple of nice football. So fans out there obviously excited to get out there for rookie minicamp. David, did want to ask you before we let you go, talking about the draft. Okay, as a guy who was a member of the league, you're the quarterback of a team for a little while. How much attention as a player did you pay to what the Jaguars were doing in the draft year to year?
Oh, my eyeballs were glued to the TV set, you know, because I wanted to see what kind of weapons I was going to be able to get. I wanted to see what kind of players we were going to get. I wanted to see what kind of guys that were going to be coming into our locker rooms. You know, it's a sacred place for players to be able to be in there, and you want to see the kind of personalities that you're going to get. Not all the personalities always fit and jailed with us in our locker room, but, you know, I definitely was all about it. And it's good to see those young guys and what they're going through, because you get to kind of relive what you went through and your stories of, you know, when I was watching the draft. I had a big draft party the day before. Of course, I got drafted in the fourth round.
Mm-hmm.
So nothing happened that day for me. But we had a lot of fun. And then I woke up the next morning, because it was only a few picks into the fourth round and I got selected.
Uh-huh.
And I pretty much had just turned my TV on after wiping the little coal out my eyes, and saw my name go across the screen. My phone started ringing, and I thought, this is the best day for me that I've ever had. And, you know, so I definitely watch. I definitely stay tuned. And now, being a season ticket holder with the Jags, I still watch it just as much now.
Yeah, that best day led to many more, hey, man, this might be the best day ever.
Absolutely.
That went up in Pittsburgh. I'm sure the fans remember. We do have one fan on the line who wants to call and say congratulations. Thomas dialed us up at 641-1010. Thomas, you're on with Fat Tony and David Garrard. What's up, buddy?
Hey, Tony. Hey, Dave. How you doing?
I'm good.
Hey, I just wanted to say, hey, Dave, you know, congratulations on, you know, a really good career, and most importantly, you know, to be able to have that time with your family now. I mean, that's much deserved for you. I'm a longtime Jaguars fan. I've lived in Jacksonville all my life, watched the team since I was a kid. And to be an adult now and you know, see the career that you had and the man that you are, you know, just it makes me proud as a Jacksonville Jaguar fan to know that we had you. And I really appreciate everything that you did, man.
I appreciate that, Thomas. It means a lot.
Yeah, appreciate the call, Thomas. And like I said, David, I'm sure you're going to be getting a lot of that, and it's well-deserved, man. Well, I'm glad you shared it with us first.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's pretty awesome.
I wanted to make it exclusive for you guys.
we definitely appreciate it. Hopefully we catch up again next week, too, get you back in studio over there at the stadium. But
yes, sir.
Thanks for dropping by here at the Benefactor. I know you got kids that are running around. We gave you a half-hour reprieve. Someone else had to deal with them for at least this half hour, so we appreciate it, man.
Thanks, guys.
Congratulations.
Thanks,
again. One more time. All right. That'll do it for us on Jaguars Today. XL Primetime coming up next. It's a Claude Nolan Cadillac Friday edition of Jaguars Today. Hacker will join me next. T-Wig, he's trying. He's trying to get here. The traffic monster may have gotten T-Wig, so we'll talk to Hacker. Welcome in him in on XL Primetime next.